So what I will present here is a joint work together with Maria Manuel Clementino. And indeed, this talk is somehow a continuation of the talk before. So that way I want to thank the organizers for making the timetable so convenient for us. So in the previous talk, the categories of Lex algebras, of reflexive Lex algebras, of reflexive and transitive Lex algebras were introduced, and some basic properties were shown. In particular, the fact that the category of reflexive Lex algebras is a locally Cartesian closed category, which is a result very important for the talk now. Well, since the category of reflexive Lex algebras is locally Cartesian closed, effective descent morphisms are, well, easy to recognize that are just the regular epimorphism, which is not true for the category of reflexive Lex algebras. And the aim of this talk is to develop some theory to recognize and describe effective descent morphisms in categories of reflexive and transitive Lex algebras. So at first, we must assume that the setting is given so that we can define Lex algebras. I just recall from the talk before. So in what follows, V is a symmetric monoidal closed complete lattice. We restrict ourselves here to the lattice case, which will be clear later. So with tensor product and unit I. And we assume there is a monad on set given, which is Lex extended to the category mat V. Well, I hope it's readable. I know the font came out not very nice. So, as Maria Manuel mentioned already, that we are orientate ourselves very much on the topological descent theory. So at first I want to recall some facts about the development of topological descent theory. Where is it? Yeah. We have heard already today morning, so in top and also in the category of locals, it is known and proved by Murdoch and Sobral that every open surjection is an effective descent morphism. Also that the class of proper surjection is a proper subclass of the class of effective descent morphism. And by Till Blewe, it was proven that every triquotient map is an effective descent morphism. Finally, the characterization of effective descent morphism in topological spaces was done by Reitermann-Tholen, as we have seen today already, where they proved that a continuous map in top is effective descent if and only if every crest of ultra filters has a lifting along P. Well, in our work about triquotient maps, we pointed out that this property can also be said like this. Given in B a point Y, a ultra filter B converging to this point, and a ultra filter on the convergence structure, converging in some sense to the ultra filter, then there must exist the same data in the category E, that is the point X, a ultra filter A, converging to that point, and a ultra filter on the convergence structure in X, in some sense converging to the ultra filter A, and all this data in E must be mapped to the corresponding data in B. Well, that's the characterization of effective descent maps in top. As we have already seen today morning, it becomes substantially easier if we restrict ourselves to finite topological spaces, where the condition is that if we have three points, one convert three points, B0, B1, and B2, B2 converging to B1, and B1 converging to B0, then there must exist a chain E2, E1, and E0 in E mapped to the chain originally given in B. Well, essentially, it comes out so simple in the finite case, since all ultra filters on a finite space are principal ultra filters, and so we only have to consider points and don't need to consider ultra filters. Okay. Well, if you look on the proofs, especially how to prove how Reitermann and Tholen proved the characterization theorem, the technique is to consider the category of pseudo-topological spaces, and then recognize inside this category the topological effective descent maps via a pullback criterion that is essentially applying the following theorem. That is, we have a category, two categories, A and B given, where we assume that B has pullbacks and equalizers, and A is a full subcategory of B closed under pullbacks. So in the case of the Reitermann-Tolden characterization, it was used with B, the category of pseudo-topological spaces, and A, the category of topological spaces. Then we assume that every regular epimorphism in B is effective descent, and we assume that every pullback stable regular epimorphism in A is a regular epimorphism in B. Then we can conclude that a pullback stable regular epimorphism in A is effective descent if and only if in each pullback with all the three spaces A, B, and the pullback A and B are in top, also A must be in top. Okay. We wish to apply also this theorem to our case, now with A, the category of reflexive and transitive Lex algebras, and B, the category of reflexive Lex algebras. So we must first make sure that all the three conditions are satisfied in our case. The first one is easy, since both categories are complete and co-complete, and the reflexive and transitive Lex algebras form a reflective subcategory of the category of reflexive Lex algebras. The second point is, for instance, sure, is true for each locally Cartesian closed category. So here we need the fact that the category of reflexive Lex algebras is locally Cartesian closed, under some mild assumptions. So, and the last, we also have one condition which assures that it is true. So again, we assume, hence in addition to our basic situation, that V is a locally Cartesian closed lattice, and that the functor T has Beck-Chevalley property. That was exactly what we need to know that the category of reflexive Lex algebras is locally Cartesian closed. And the second condition, we need to know that all the pullback stable regular epimorphisms in the category of reflexive and transitive Lex algebras are regular epimorphisms in the bigger category. In our study now of effective descent theory, we want to restrict ourselves first to the case of the identity monad, where it becomes much simpler. And at first, we can prove that an effective descent morphism in the category of reflexive and transitive Lex algebras must satisfy this condition. So maybe I would like to show that this condition is really exactly the same we have considered in the case of finite topological spaces, or more general, of pre-ordered sets. In that case, if we have the case that V is a two-elemented Boolean algebras, and we consider the tensor product as the infimum, then essentially we have to show that if the left side is equal to 1, also the right side must be equal to 1. So the left side is equal to 1 if both components are equal to 1. And let me write the case that B of y2, y1 is equal to 1, like this. Epsilon y2 converges to y1. And that the other component is equal to 1. Hence, that y1 converges to y0, then also the right side must be 1, which means there must exist one component of the supremum. That is, there must exist x2, x1, and x0 mapped respectively to the y part, such that x2 converges to x1 and x1 converges to x0. So it's exactly the characterization of effective descent morphisms in finite topological spaces, or more general, in reflexive relations, in preordered sets. Okay, that is one side of a characterization theorem. We would also like to show that at least under some circumstances, this property characterizes effective descent morphisms. At first, what we can show is if this property holds and the neutral element for the tensor product is also the terminal object of the category, then a map satisfying this property is a Pulpex stable regular epimorphism. Okay, a more general result we get if we restrict ourselves a little bit more. We assume that V is a category of positive, of non-negative real numbers plus infinite, or we assume that the tensor product in our category V, or in our lattice V, is the infimum, then we can indeed prove that this property characterizes effective descent morphisms. So having as an example the characterization of effective descent morphisms in finite topological spaces, or more generally in preordered sets, we have learned already. Another case, even if, or the case if V is other extended real non-negative real numbers, we got as a category of the category of quasi-metric spaces. So I want to show, no, it was the wrong direction. Oops. So in the category of quasi-metric spaces, this property reads like this, that the sum of two distances in the codomain Y must be equal to the infimum of all the sums in the pre-images. That's for the category of quasi-metric spaces, and as one can, it is not too hard to see that the same proof goes through also in the case of the category of metric spaces. So we also got, yeah, right there, a characterization of effective descent morphisms in the category of matrix spaces. Well, let me mention at this point that to be effective descent in a category of matrix spaces is completely, has nothing to do with being effective descent with the underlying topology. For instance, considering the following example, we have a map where we choose as a base space, for instance, the interval minus 1, 1, and as the space E, a subspace of the plane, namely this one, which also has from minus 1 to 1. But we leave out the zero, so the point 0, 0 does not belong to the space E, but we add, well, for instance, the segment until 1, which is it, 0, 1. And as the map P, we choose the projection to the first component. This map, it's not hard to see, satisfies this property, hence is effective descent. But it is not an effective descent map with the underlying topology. So the notion of effective descent in matrix spaces and topological spaces is entirely different. Okay. That's about the case of the identity monad. In the case of a general monad, we are still not at a, or we still can't present a characterization theorem, but we can prove or will prove that the open and proper maps also are effective descent. Well, at first we need to know what are open and proper maps in Lex algebras, and again we use as a motivation the category of topological spaces. Namely, we have there some ultrafilter characterization of several classes of maps, which then can be interpreted as some diagrams involving the ultrafilter functor must commute, and this we can then use as a definition in our setting. So let me at first recall some facts about description of proper and perfect and open and maps, characterizations in top and the category of finite topological spaces. So a map, for instance, in top is proper is whenever we have an ultrafilter A given in E and a point Y in B such that the ultrafilter P of A converges to Y, then there must exist a point X which is mapped to Y such that the original ultrafilter A converges to X. And a map is perfect if the same holds, just now the point must exist uniquely. The situation is very similar in the case of open maps and local homeomorphisms, where it's just the dual way. So, for instance, a map in top is open if, whenever we have a point X0 in E and a ultrafilter B in B converging to P of X0, then there must exist a ultrafilter A mapped to B and converging to X0. Well, that's for open. In the case of local homeomorphism, in case of finite topological spaces, we can again copy the description of open maps, add some unique, such that the point must exist uniquely, and get a description of local homeomorphisms there. We would like to do the same in topological spaces, but unfortunately we can't, since it does not describe local homeomorphisms in topological spaces. A simple example. You can, for instance, consider the map P E to B, where we choose as B the Sierpinski space. I will present it now as 1, converging to 0, since B is the Sierpinski space. And E, we choose the natural numbers. So 0, 1, 2, etc. And the map P sends 0 to 0 and all the rest to 1. Then we define a topology here where, beside the principal ultrafilters, which must converge to their generating point, we choose 1 free ultrafilter on this set. So we choose an ultrafilter A free, which contains this set, and tell him to converge to 0. And that's all. Then it's not too hard to see that it satisfies exactly the condition mentioned here with the existence of the ultrafilter unique. But this map never can be a local homeomorphism because, for instance, every open set containing 0 must be an element of this ultrafilter, hence must be infinite, and so can be never mapped homeomorphically on its image. So the problem with this condition is that it is not pullback stable. So we can characterize local homeomorphisms in top as maps having this property such that each pullback of them has the desired property. Well, that was just a side remark, but let me return to open and proper maps. For instance, proper, what does this condition mean? we consider a topological space X, say, with convergence fracture I call E. And a topological space Y with convergence fracture B. Then this condition means that whenever we have a ultra filter here, I'm looking now on proper map, and a point here, such that the image of this ultra filter converges to that point, that is, we have that A is in relation, let's call the map E, F, UF, B, UF, with the point Y, then there must exist a point here, such that this ultra filter converges to this point, and this point is mapped to Y. That is, it implies that this ultra filter is in relation FA with the point Y. Well, that means essentially that going that way is contained going that way. Wasser inclusion is simply continuity, so we can say a map is proper if this diagram commutes. Now substituting the ultra filter functor U by an arbitrary functor, we get the definition of proper maps in our categories of Lex algebras. And just the other way, so we define a map in the categories of Lex algebras is called proper if the diagram commutes, and open if the diagram satisfies the Beck-Chevalier property, that is, I show it here, going this way is the same like going that way. So in order to prove the properties we want to have, we must assume some additional conditions, which are essentially these two. We assume that our functor T commutes with the involution and that it preserves composition with maps on the left. Well, and having these two properties, we can prove what is expected for open and proper maps. At first, that there are pullback stable regular APs. For this result, we don't need the two additional properties. Then we can prove that the class of proper and open maps pullback stable, and finally, that they are effective descent. Well, and with that, I want to finish the talk, and thanks for your attention.